طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 24th session. Let's begin to read Arabic by Dr. Fa Abd Rahim. And today, inshallah, we're going to look at the next couple of lessons, 46 and 47, and maybe 48 as well. I wasn't sure if anybody remembers last week when I was explaining lesson 44 and 45. Did we read the words from the lesson? We did not, right? Okay. Yeah, individually. No, okay. I thought we didn't, but I just wanted to make sure. Anyway, I hope that the explanation of the rule is understood. And if the rule is understood, that's what is intended here. But inshallah, in any case, we will read the words, the examples that were given for lesson 44 and 45. But before that, let me just, let's see, how many people we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. Yeah, let me give you these. Okay. Who's behind me? Could you just pass it from this side? Can you just pass it from this side to the brothers on this side? Yes. And I need a young brother to help me. Who's the youngest brother here? Okay. If you could just pass this,
same one, right?
Just, yeah. No, I'm saying don't give it to the brothers. Just stick it under the curtain. Yeah, the sisters, I'm going to send the notes to the sisters. The brothers are going to stick it under the curtain. If somebody can just pick up those notes for the sisters. Okay, I hope everybody got a copy of this. And please ask Allah to reward our brother who copied these papers for us. Yani, may Allah reward him generously. Okay, everybody has one?
For the
sisters? No, we already sent to the sisters. Okay. Is anybody didn't get a copy of the notes? Okay, it's extra? Thank you. If anybody comes in, please, if anybody comes in, somebody let them know that there's some extra copies here for everybody to take one.
No. The attendance check
rule. Anybody have the attendance? Yeah. Can you pass that over here? Okay. Because of the, we started a little bit late today, so we lost some time. So let's try to make up the time by being focused, right? Listening carefully, trying to follow what we are presenting here, so that if something is not clear, you can stop me and ask a question. Otherwise, I'm going to, try to complete the reading from last week and then go to the new lessons, explanation. Okay, so we have two things here. We have the explanation, what's called explanatory notes. Explanatory notes, that's what it says at the top of the page. For the special rules for reading Quran found in the last 10 chapters of Let's Begin to Read Arabic by Dr. V. Abdurrahim. Yeah, it's okay. So what we have here, these are notes that we made in order to help you understand the rules concerning each one of these lessons, the last 10 lessons from our book, Let's Begin to Read Arabic. All right, I read the explanation of the lesson 44 and lesson 45 last week. And so what I'm going to do today, write the third page of these notes. On the third page of these notes, there's a supplement. Okay, after the first page says lesson 44, page 86, 87, I read those notes. The second page of the explanatory notes says lesson 45, page 88, I read that last week. And the third page says supplement to lessons 44 and 45, pages 86 to 88. That's what I want to read now. I want to read the supplement, which is on the third page. And after I read the supplement, then I want to go back to the original book and read lesson 44 and lesson 45 before we go on to the new lesson. All right? So please try to focus and pay attention. I'm going to read from the explanatory notes first, the third page of those notes. The pages are not numbered. But it says on the top of the page, yani explanatory notes, and then it says supplement to lessons 44 and 45, pages 86 and 88. Let me see. Turn, here, it should be this page here. You know, I didn't look at these copies, but page 44, page 45. Okay, so it's this page here. It's this page right here. Okay, so the first page has page 1 and 2, and the second sheet has the third page. The second sheet has the third page. No problem. If you need the attendance, brother?
Yes, yes.
He has a pen?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let me just say, I don't want to get sidetracked, right?
No.
But I would like to finish this book with you. And I have, yani, some type of pressing situation that's going to require me to travel for at least 1 month, or maybe even longer. I'm not sure. So I want to try to finish the book with you before I travel, because Allahu A'lam when I'm going to come back, right? Maybe a while. So that's why I'm saying today we're going to try to do the next two lessons, and maybe three. And in the last 10 chapters, they are very short chapters. They don't take a lot of time, but if we focus and we pay attention, then it's easy for us to cover them, inshallah. Okay, so let's please try to, yani, bear with me. Okay, so I'm reading from the third page of the notes. It's on the second sheet of paper. On the top of the page, it says, supplement to lessons 44 and 45. Pages 86 to 88. This supplement, actually, what it is a summary of what we explained last week in lessons 44 and 45. Those two lessons are related to each other in that both of them deal with the rule of words that end with tanween fatha, two fatha. Both of those lessons deal with words that end with tanween fatha. And the rule concerning it is that any word in the Arabic language that ends with two fatha, tanween fatha, then it's going to be followed by an aleph, an extra aleph. That's not part of the word. There's going to be an aleph added to the end of the word. And that aleph is to tell us, if we stop on that word, we're going to pronounce it as though the fathatain, instead of pronouncing it A-N, we're going to pronounce it A, being elongated by aleph. So it's going to be an elongation. Instead of, for example, saying kitaban, we're going to say kitaba. Instead of qalaman, we're going to say qalama. Like, this is how it's going to be read if you stop on that word. That aleph is telling you to elongate the fatha of the tanween. Instead of pronouncing the noon, elongate the fatha. Is that clear? Okay. That's the main rule, huh? The main rule is that any word in the Arabic language that ends with tanween, two fatha, not two dhamma, not two kasra, only two fatha. Any word that ends with two fatha, we're going to add an aleph to the end of the word. You're going to see an extra aleph there that's not part of the word, but it may be attached to the last letter of the word. And that aleph is to tell us when we stop on that word, we're going to elongate the fatha. Instead of pronouncing it A-N, we're going to pronounce it A-A. Alright? Now, that's the general rule. There's an exception to that rule. And we took that last week. Words that end with Hamzatul Qat. That's preceded by an aleph. Words that end with Hamzatul Qat. Like Sama'an or Bina'an and so on like this. Those are the words that we're going to read from the lesson today. Those words, even though there's no extra aleph written at the end, you still have to follow that same rule. If you stop on it, you're going to pronounce it as though there's an extra aleph. So Sama'an, if you stop on it, you're going to pronounce it Sama'a. Bina'an, instead of pronouncing the noon, if you stop on it, you're going to pronounce it Bina'a. Just going to pronounce it as a long vowel, even though no aleph is written there. The second exception to this rule are words that end with ta marbuta, like zakah, zakat, and salat. These words end with ta marbuta. If they have a fathatain on the end, the rule for them is if you stop on it, you're not going to pronounce the fathatain, nor are you going to pronounce the ta marbuta as ta, as t, but you're going to pronounce it as h. And we were practicing that with words throughout the book so far, right? Anytime we saw words of Taramabuta, we had went over this rule lots of times, okay? That's what we took last week, okay? So now I'm going to read the supplementary notes, and then we're going to go back and read the words that they gave as examples for lesson 44, and the words that they gave as examples for lesson 45, and then we're going to go to the new lesson. Okay, so the supplementary note says, supplement to lessons 44 and 45, pages 86 to 88, med al-iwad. Med al-iwad. This is what we're talking about in these two lessons. We're talking about med al-iwad. Yani med means an elongation, and iwad means something taking the place of something else. Med al-iwad is the substitution of a lengthened alif in place of the tanween with double fatha when you stop on it. Not if you keep reading, but when you stop on it. We're going to substitute the lengthened alif. We're going to elongate the fatha of the tanween. Instead of pronouncing an, we're going to elongate the fatha and make it okay. This is the rule when you stop on such words. This med is two counts. It has the length of two fatha. Yani meaning twice, two times as long. For example, kabiran, when stopped or paused upon, would be pronounced kabira. Kalaman, when stopped or paused upon, would be pronounced kalama. Okay, now there are two notes. The first note is in reference to words that end with hamzatul qat, that's preceded by alif. And the second note is in reference to words that end with tarmabuta. Okay? These are, yani, exceptions to the general rule. Note 1. The med elongation takes place in words ending with hamzatul qat if or when it follows an alif. Yani, if hamzatul qat follows an alif, it's preceded by an alif, as in, yani, an alif, and then hamzatul qat, yani, with fathatain. Even though no alif is written after the final letter of the word, still the rule of med al-iwad is going to be applied here. Even though there's no alif after the hamzatul qat, we're going to read it as though, if we stop on it, as though it's elongation. For example, in lesson 44 we have the words, yani, I'm going to read from right to left, right? Bina'a, right? Sama'a and fina'a. These are words, if you stop on them, you're going to pronounce it as though there's elongation of the fatha of the tanween, even though there's no alif written after it. Okay, this is a special rule for words that end with hamzatul qat. If it's preceded by alif, they're not going to write another alif after it, but if you stop on it, you have to read it as though there's an alif there, elongating it, okay? So if you keep reading, of course, you're going to pronounce the tanween. Bina'an, sama'an, fina'an. If you keep reading, continual mode. But if you stop on it, you're going to pronounce it as though it's elongation. Even though no alif is written after the tanween, the double fatha, in these words, even though no alif is written after it, the med elongation still takes place if or when you stop or pause on these words. On the other hand, when continuing the reading of words ending with the double fatha, tanween, when continual reading, without a stop or pause, whether the alif is written after the tanween or not. Whether the alif is written after the tanween or not. Meaning, there's most of the words, the alif is going to be written after the tanween. But there's one type of word where the alif is not going to be written. That's going to be words that end with hamzatul qat, preceded by alif. No alif is going to be written. But it doesn't matter if the alif is written or the alif is not written. Huh? It doesn't matter. When you continue reading those words, you don't stop or pause on them, this med, lengthening, does not occur. And instead, the four rules of noon, sakin, and tanween to be studied later would be applied. Okay, so what are we saying here? We're saying that if any word that ends with fathatain, yani tanween fatha, if you continue reading, you're going to pronounce it like any other tanween. Okay, there are rules for words that end with tanween. Like if you study tajweed, you will know that there are rules for words that end with tanween. There are four rules. Sometimes you're going to merge the noon sound into the next letter. Sometimes you're going to pronounce the noon sound clearly. Sometimes it's going to be in between. And sometimes the noon is going to be transformed into a meme sound. Those are the rules of noon, sakin, and tanween. Okay? We're not going to study those rules now. That's for tajweed class. But the point I'm saying, you're going to pronounce the tanween when you keep reading, you're going to pronounce it as an, according to the rules of noon, sakin, and tanween. Okay, according to which of the four rules are applicable when you're reading Quran. That's if you keep reading. But if you stop on it, that's when this rule comes into play, that you're going to pronounce it as though it's elongation of fatah. Kitaba, masjida, qalama, binaa, finaa, samaa. You're just going to pronounce it as a long vowel. That's the first note. The second note, it says, note 2. As for words that end with ta marbuta, with a double fatha, when you stop or pause upon these words, the rule of mad al-iwad, that is substitution of a lengthened alif in place of the tanween with a double fatha, this rule does not apply. Yani, if a word has a double fatha tanween, but the last letter is ta marbuta, the rule of mad iwad, elongating the fatha like it's a, that rule is not applicable. There is no med elongation, nor is the tanween pronounced as an. And third, the ta marbuta is pronounced as a ha, h sound, not as ta, t sound. Okay, these are rules that we studied last week. Let's see if we can apply them in lesson 44. Turn to the book. And you keep the notes, you know, don't put them away because we're going to come back to them. But, yeah, I need turn. Open your book to lesson 44 on page 86. Okay, this lesson is two pages, 86 and 87. 86 is dealing with the rule of words that end with tarmabuta, and 87 is dealing with words that end with hamzatul qat, yani, that's preceded by alif. Do you have a book, brother? You can hold one of mine. Here, take. Somebody pass this to him. Page 86, near the back of the book, page 86. Okay, lesson 44 says new element, T-A, ta, T-A-N, 10. Hamza, A, A, Hamza, A-N-N. Note that the double fatha at the end of a word is pronounced A-N. Tanween, fatha, is pronounced A-N. Okay, so they show at the top of the page, a ta marbuta with a fatha, yani, which they are pronouncing it in the continual mode as ta. And then they are showing fatatain on the tarmabuta, pronouncing it in the continual mode as 10. And then underneath they show you hamzatul qat. This is going to be in words that have an alif before it. So no alif is going to be written after it. Hamzatul qat with fatta a, hamzatul qat with tanween fatta n. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, so the rule for words that end with tanween fatha, if the last letter is tarmabuta, is that we're not going to make elongation and we're not going to pronounce the tanween. Rather, we're going to pronounce the tarmabuta as an H with no vowel sound. And we know that rule very well from our readings previously. Okay, page 86, line 1, first word. Oh, wait a minute. First word, we're going to read in the continual mode first, okay? First word, as though we're going to continue reading, right? First word.
Ayatan.
Second word.
Sanatan.
Third word.
Sunnatan.
Last word.
Sa'atan.
That's how we read it as a regular tanween. Like any tanween, right? That's how we normally read it. But if we stop on it, that's where the special rule comes in here. If we stop on it, then we're going to pronounce it without elongation, without the sound of tanween, and without making the tarmabuta as a T, but rather than pronounce it as H, okay? Line 1, first word in stop or pause mode. First word.
Ayah.
As though it's a H on the end. Second word.
Sana.
Third word.
Sunnah.
Naam. Last word.
Sa'a.
Okay, line 2. Continual mode. First word.
Jihatan.
Second word.
Musibatan.
Third word.
Rahmatan.
Last word.
Alihatan.
Stop or pause mode. Line 2, first word.
Jihah.
Second word.
Musibah.
Third word.
Rahma.
Last word?
Aliha.
Taib, any question about the rule for ta marbuta when it ends with fatatain?
When we read Quran, how do we know when to stop or when to continue?
When we're reading Quran, we're going to stop at the end of an ayat.
Right.
Unless we run out of breath and we have to stop somewhere else, right? We stop wherever we run out of breath, right?
Definitely.
Now, but if you stop, whether it's the end of the ayat or it's a long ayat and you can't finish it in one breath, then wherever you stop at, yani, it's better to stop in a place where the meaning will make sense. But in any case, if you didn't stop there, then generally you should go back a little bit to the beginning of where it makes sense again, and then read from there. Okay? Whoever studies Tajweed with a teacher, inshallah, teacher will explain that to you. Okay? Yani, it will take some time for us to bring examples and show all of that, but yani, right now we just want to know what's the rule for the reading, and as far as the rules of Tajweed, inshallah, you have to find a qualified teacher to teach you how to recite Quran properly. You can't do that by yourself. If you do it by yourself, you'll just make a mess. You have to have a teacher. Yani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the angel Jibril alayhi salam, recited to him the Quran, every ayah of the Quran, from the beginning to the end of it. So he knew how to recite it from a teacher. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or radiallahu anhum, they learned the Quran from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had a teacher, and they are better than us, right? If they needed a teacher, what about us? We don't need a teacher. Now, let's go to the next page, 87. This is the rule of fathatain at the end of a word that ends with hamzatul qat. Notice that every one of these words, the hamzatul qat is the last letter, is preceded by an alif. In that case, they're not going to write another alif after it. However, it's going to follow the rule. It's going to still follow the rule of med al-iwad. If you stop on it, you're going to pronounce that tanween as though it's a fatha elongated by alif, even though there's no alif written in it. Now,
so there can't be any alif after hamza.
We're not saying there can't be. They don't write it. They don't write it as according to this rule that when words end with fathatain, they always follow it by an alif. In this case, they don't follow it by an alif. And if the alif is not a part of the word, it's just written there to remind you to pronounce the elongation when you stop on it. But for this word, because they already have an alif before the hamza, they didn't write another one after it. But the rule is as though there's an alif there. It's as though there's an alif at the end of it, meaning telling you if you stop on it, if you pause on it, pronounce it as though the tanween, the fatha of the tanween, is elongated by that alif. Even though we don't see the alif there. It's as though there's an alif there. Okay, let's read top of page 87. In the continual mode, the first word.
Bina'an.
Tanween, N, right? Second word.
Sama'an.
Third word. Fina'an. Last word.
Abna'an.
Okay, that's how we normally read tanween. If we stop on the word that ends with fathatain, generally there's going to be an alif to remind us to elongate the fatha. But in these words that end with hamzatul qat, there's no alif. Nonetheless, we still have to pronounce it with elongation if we stop on it. Okay, so we're in the pause mode. Line 3, first word we will read.
Bina'a.
Second word.
Sama'a.
Third word.
Fina'a.
And the last word.
Abana'a.
Okay, so these words can be read two ways, depending on whether or not you continue reading or you stop. If you continue reading, you say bina'an. If you stop, you say bina'a. All right, line 4, continual mode, first word.
Kisa'an.
Kisa'an. Second word.
Aba'an.
Third word.
Jala'an.
Last word.
Liqa'an.
Okay, pause or stop mode. Line 4, first word.
Kisa'an.
Second word.
Aba'an.
Third word.
Jala'an.
And the last word.
Liqa'an.
Liqa'an. Line 5. Continual mode. First word.
Du'a'an.
Second word.
Diya'an.
Third word.
Baqa'an.
Last word.
Asma'an.
Stop or pause mode. Line 5. First word.
Du'a'a.
Second word.
Diya'a.
Third word.
Baqa'a.
And the last word.
Asma'a.
Naam. Any question? These are the two lessons this is the first lesson that we took last week, dealing with two exceptions to the general rule. Words that end with ta marbuta and words that end with hamzatul qat. You have to keep these two types of words in your mind when you're reading. If you see fathatain, you know that there's a special rule for fathatain. Okay? These two types of words have an exception to the rule. One of them, the words that end with hamzatul qat, is not going to have an extra aleph written at the end, but you're going to read it as though it's there if you stop on it. The other one, karmabuta, also does not have an extra aleph, but you're not going to read it according to the rule of med awad. You're not going to make elongation if you stop on the word with ta marbuta. Okay, lesson 45 we also took last week, and we said that lesson 45 is the main rule. The main rule. On page 88, it says, note that double fatha on letters other than the round ta, the ta marbuta, or the hamza after an aleph, take on an extra aleph that is not pronounced. Yani, it's not pronounced if you continue reading. Brother. Okay, I'm reading from the book, our textbook, page 88, lesson 45. It says, note that the double fatha is placed on this extra aleph, or just before it. Okay, the rule here is what? That words that end with fathatain are going to have an extra aleph written at the end of them. That extra aleph is to tell you if you stop on that word, elongate the fatha of the tanween as though it's a long vowel. If you continue reading, you're going to read it as a regular tanween. And, alright? Okay, page 88, line 1, in continual mode, first word.
Kalaman.
Second word.
Kitaban.
Third word.
Kabiran.
Okay, line 1 in stop or pause mode. First word.
Kalama.
Second word.
Kitaba.
Third word.
Kabira.
Naam. Line 2 in continual mode. First word.
Kafuran.
Second word.
Aliman.
Third word.
Zaburan.
Okay, if we stop or pause on the word that ends with fathatain. Okay, if we stop or pause on it, we're going to pronounce it as though that aleph written after it is elongating the fatha. No noon sound, just fatha followed by aleph, elongation. Line 2, first word.
Kafura.
Second word.
Alima.
Third word.
Zabura.
Line 3, first word in continual mode. First word.
Sami'an.
Second word.
Su'an.
Third word.
Juz'an.
And Hamza. Juz'an. Okay, line 3. Stop or pause mode. First word.
Sami'a.
Second word.
Su'an.
That's not an ayn, that's Hamza.
Su'an.
Su'an. Third word.
Juz'ah.
Good, mashallah. Okay, any question? These are the lessons that we took last week, alright? The same rule of Mad Iwad, we're going to look at in the next lesson. in lesson 46. But this time, the rule is going to be applied the same way, except that the aleph at the end of the word is not going to be the aleph that looks like a number one. Aleph mamduda. It's not going to be that aleph. But we know that there are two types of aleph in the Arabic language. There's aleph mamduda that's written straight up like this, like a number one. And there's aleph maqsura. Maqsura is written like a ya at the end of a word without two dots. It's written like a ya. Okay, so the same rule of mad awad, we're going to be applying it to words that end with aleph maqsura. Okay, it's still aleph, but it's just written in a different form. Alright, so let's look at the explanation of this lesson first. On the next page of the explanatory notes, it says, on the explanatory notes, not in the book, the explanatory notes. Okay, the next page, it says lesson 46. Lesson 46, pages 89 and 90. Lesson 46. It's the very next page from what we just got finished reading from the notes before. Okay. You good? Now. Now?
For the previous lesson.
Huh?
Previous lesson?
Yeah, previous lesson.
For words to be able to have the part of the ring, the part of the turn, they must have aleph. Join with it?
Generally speaking, that's the general rule. Okay? Any word that ends with fathatan, yani tanween fatha, is going to have an extra aleph added to the end of it. Except the exceptions that we have. Words that end with tarmabulta and words that end with hamzat al-qat. That's preceded by aleph.
Right.
All other words in Arabic language, unless they end with hamzat al-qat or tarmabulta, all other words in Arabic language, if they have two fatha, they must be followed by an aleph. That reminds us, if we stop or pause on it, we pronounce it as elongation. Well, yeah. This same rule, now we're going to look at, but instead of aleph mamduda, the aleph that we saw in the previous lessons, we're going to see the other aleph, aleph maqsura, which is written like a ya without two dots. Let's see the explanation of this lesson. It says explanation. This lesson deals with the undotted ya, known as aleph maqsura. Undotted ya, meaning it looks just like ya at the end of a word, but it doesn't have the two dots. Aleph maqsura, this ya without two dots, is a long vowel, a. It's a long vowel, a. Just like the regular aleph, known as aleph mamduda. In words like bab and kitab, that aleph in bab and that aleph in kitab, the sound of it is the same as the sound of aleph maqsura. It's the two count fatha. Fatha elongated. That's the same exact sound. Note the following points concerning aleph maqsura. Just so that we would know what's the difference between aleph maqsura and the letter ya, which it looks just like. Okay? So we're going to say, what are the distinguishing things about aleph maqsura? And then we're going to say, how is it different from aleph, from ya, from the regular ya? Okay? So aleph maqsura, number one, it is only written at the end of a word. Huh? Aleph maqsura is only written at the end of a word. Unlike ya, can be in the beginning, middle, or end of a word. Aleph maqsura can only be in the beginning of a word, at the end of a word, never in the beginning or middle. Number two, aleph maqsura is written in the form of a ya, but without the two dots of ya. It's written like the form of a ya at the end of a word, but without its two dots. And number three, aleph maqsura can be preceded, can only be preceded by a letter, a consonant with fatha vowel. It can only be preceded by a letter with the fatha vowel. For example, mata or an baka. Yani aleph maqsura is always at the end of a word. It looks like a ya, but it doesn't have two dots. And it's always preceded by a letter with fatha vowel. Always. Note, it says here, see Surah Al-Duha, the 93rd Surah, Ayahs 1 through 8, for more examples of aleph maqsura. Anybody know Surah Al-Duha?
Yeah.
Huh? What's the first ayat? Wadduha. That's aleph maqsura. What's the next ayat? Wallayli idha saja. Huh? All of these ayats in the beginning of Surah Al-Duha, all of them end with aleph maqsura. And you already know how it sounds because you've been reciting it already, right? The point is now, you need to pay attention to this aleph that looks like a ya. It's always at the end of a word. It's always preceded by fatah, and it doesn't have the two dots of ya. Aleph maksura should not be confused with the letter ya, which is distinguished by the following points. It can be written at the beginning, middle, or end of words, as in the following examples. Yadun, yani ya in the beginning of the word. Jamilun, ya in the middle of a word. Abi, ya at the end of a word. So ya can be written in the beginning, middle, or end of a word. Aleph maksura can only be at the end of a word. Number two. Ya has two dots. Yani, meaning the letter ya, its distinguishing sign is that it has two dots to distinguish it from ba, or ta, or tha, or noon. It has two dots. Aleph maksura never has those two dots. The third thing, it can be preceded, that is ya, can be preceded by a letter with a fatha, a kasra, or a dhamma, as in the following examples. Yani, the word layl, the ya is preceded by fatha. In the word buniya, the ya is preceded by kasra. And in the word suyirat, and it came in the Quran, 81st surah, 3rd ayat, the ya is preceded by dhamma. So this shows that the letter ya can be preceded by any vowel, fatha, kasra, or dhamma, unlike the letter aleph maksura, must always be preceded only by fatha. So these are the differences between ya and aleph maksura. That is, aleph maksura is only at the end of the word. Ya can be in the beginning, middle, or end. Aleph maksura, yani, is always preceded by fatha, whereas ya can be preceded by fatha, kasra, or dhamma. And aleph maksura does not have the two dots of ya. Any question about this aleph maksura? Okay, let's look at the lesson in the textbook, lesson 46, page 89. And 90, page 89 and 90, lesson 46, Aleph Maksura. At the top of the page it says new element, M-A-A, ma. Yani, note that an undotted ya at the end of the word can only be preceded by fatha. It is pronounced ah, just like the Aleph Mamduda. If it's preceded by fatha, you pronounce it ah. Aleph Maksura is pronounced exactly the same way. It's just written differently. It's always at the end of the word. It never has the two dots of ya, and it must be preceded by fatha. Okay, let's read from the first line. From the first line, the first word. Yani, this is actually, these are examples at the top of the page to make us pay attention to words that might look similar. Yani, the first word we have meem, kasra followed by ya. That's ya, with two dots, preceded by a kasra, which is elongation, pronounced
mata.
La
no.
Meem, kasra, ya. It's pronounced me. Okay, then we have meem with fatha followed by ya with sukoon. That's pronounced
may.
That's a diphthong. And then we have meem with fatha followed by aleph maksura, and that should be pronounced
ma,
just like meem fatha followed by aleph mamduda. Aleph maksura, aleph mamduda, both of them preceded by fatha, they pronounce exactly the same way. It's just that in the Arabic language, some words are going to end with aleph maksura because of the root of that word. That's something we don't have to be concerned with now, but those words that end with aleph maksura, it's a reason for it. Okay? That reason is beyond us at this point, but in any case, just know that if a word is written with aleph maksura, we have to write it as aleph maksura. Unless, there's a suffix added to that word. Aleph maksura must always be the last letter of the word. Then they will change it to aleph mamduda. Don't worry about that now. What we need to worry about now is aleph maksura. It looks like a ya. It doesn't have those two dots. It's only at the end of the word. It's always preceded by fatha. And we pronounce it the same way we pronounce the fatha, followed by the regular aleph that looks like the number one. Alright? So let's read. Line one.
Where's my pencil? Oh, here.
Line 1, first word.
Mata.
Mata. Meem, fatta, ta, fatta, aleph, maksura. Mata. Second word.
Baka.
Baka. Third word.
Rama.
Rama. Fourth word.
Hatta.
Hatta. And the last word.
Ila.
Ila. Ila. Huh?
Line 2, first word.
Ala.
Ala. Second word.
Bala.
Bala. Third word.
Musa.
Musa. Last word.
Isa.
Isa. Line 3, first word.
Tadalla.
Tadalla. Second word.
Adra.
Adra. Third word.
Abba.
Last word?
Atta.
Atta. Okay, turn to page 90. Continuation of lesson 46. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, page 90. Line 4, top of the page. The first word.
Yanha.
Yanha. Second word.
Yabqa.
Yabqa. Third word.
Talaqqa.
Talaqqa. With shadda on the qaf. Line 5. First word.
Ameen.
Huh? That's not Alif Maksura, right? How do you know that's not Alif Maksura? It has two dots and what else? It's preceded by Kasra. Alif Maksura is only preceded by Fatah. Okay? So pay attention. Second word.
Abba.
Abba. That's Alif Maksura. How do we know it's Alif Maksura? It has no two dots and it's preceded by Fatah. Alif Maksura is always at the end of the word, always preceded by Fatah, and it has no, it doesn't have the two dots of Ya. Okay, line 5, third word.
Yadri.
Yadri. That's a kasra, right? I mean, that's a ya preceded by kasra. Yadri. Last word?
Adra.
Adra. That's alif maksur preceded by fatha. Line 6, first word.
Yabki.
Yabki. That's ya with two dots preceded by kasra. Second word.
Yabqa.
Yabqa. Alif maksur preceded by fatha. Third word.
Ahdi.
Ahdi. Naam. That's ya preceded by kasra. And the last word?
Ahda.
Ahda. Alif Maksura preceded by fatha. Okay, so the point Alif Maksura is its sound is the same as Alif Mamduda. It's just written differently. It's written like a ya, but it doesn't have its two dots. It's always at the end of a word, and it's always preceded by fatha. The next lesson, lesson 47, is a continuation of the same rule of Mad Iwad. But again, it's written with Alif Maksura instead of Alif Mamduda. And Alif Maksura, is we're familiar with it now. We know that it's always at the end of the word, doesn't have the two dots of Ya, and it's always preceded by Fatha. But here it's going to be preceded by Tanween Fatha. Tanween Fatha. So now, since it's preceded by Tanween Fatha, then there's going to be two ways to read it. One way to read it is in continual mode, and the other way to read it is in the pause mode. If it's in continual mode, how are we going to read the words that end with Alif Maksura and Fathatain? How are we going to read it in continual mode? Now, Muhammad. We're going to what? We're going to pronounce the fatatain. We're going to pronounce it as tanween. Like any other word that ends with tanween. We're going to pronounce the tanween. But if we stop or pause on it, then what happens? We elongate the fatha. Okay, we're not going to pronounce the noon sound of the tanween here. If we stop or pause on it, we're going to pronounce it as though it's fatha, elongated by alif. Except that the alif here is alif maksura instead of alif mamduda. Same exact rule. It's clear? Same exact rule. Nothing to it. Same rule. It's just that it's alif maksura. Okay? So, let me just read here the notes that we had for this lesson 47. The next in the explanatory notes, right? It says lesson 47, page 91. Alif maksura. Explanation. When a word ends with the undotted ya, known as alif maksura, as explained in the previous lesson number 46. But the letter preceding it has double fatha, tanween. There are two ways to pronounce it. The word ends with Alif Maksura, but the word before it has Tanween. There are two ways to pronounce it. If you continue reading, it is pronounced as a normal Tanween, A-N. That is, as a short vowel fatha with an N sound, as in the following examples. If we continue reading, we're going to read this word, Hudan, Maulan, huh? As Tanween, and continue reading. Hudan, Maulan. But if you stop, number two, if you stop or pause on it, you pronounce it as a long vowel sound, A-A. That is, as a normal two-count med. As in the following examples, in the pause form, we will read Huda, and we will read Maula. Okay? Continue reading. You say Hudan, pause, Huda, Maulan, Maula. Note, the rule for reading such words is the same as the rule for reading any other Arabic word that ends with double fatha, tanween, with the extra alif mamduda at the end. It has the same rule as the fatatain followed by alif mamduda, except that here is followed by alif maksura. The exceptions to this are words that end with ta marbuta, as previously explained in lesson 45 and 46. If a word ends with tarmabuta, we're not going to have elongation. We're not going to pronounce the tanween. We're just going to pronounce it as H sound. The only difference here is that these words end with alif maksura instead of alif mamduda. However, the way they are read is exactly the same. The way they are read is exactly the same if the word ended with tanween fatha followed by alif mamduda. It's just that here we have alif maksura. We're almost at the end of our time, but we started 10 minutes late. So I'm sorry, we're going to take those 10 minutes. We have to take them, right? It's only right. All right. Ya Allah. Sulaiman, assalamu alaikum. I have something for you before you leave today. Please don't go without taking it. And also, Islam. You have something, right? Today. And who else? Mustafa. Where's Mustafa? Okay, Mustafa, now. Okay, let's read the examples they gave for lesson 47 on page 91. It says, new element, Hudan Maulan. Yani, that is if you are reading continuously, right? No. If the word ends with the undotted Ya, Yani, that is the Alif Maksura. And the letter before it, the previous letter, before the Alif Maksura, it has the double fatha. The long A is shortened to A, so Yani Hudan becomes Huda. Yani, if there's a word that ends with Alif Maksura and it has a Tanween fatha at the end of the word, Yani, then instead of pronouncing, if we stop or pause on it, instead of pronouncing it Hudan, we're going to pronounce it Huda. Alright? Let's see the line one, first line, first word in continual mode. First word.
Hudan.
Hudan. Second word.
Maulan.
Maulan. Third word.
Sudan.
Sudan. Last word.
Duhan.
Duhan. Okay, stop or pause mode. Line one, first word.
Hudan.
Hudan. Second word.
Maula.
Maula. Third word.
Suda.
Suda. Last word.
Duha.
Duha. Line two. Line two. Continue mode. First word.
Mustashfan.
Continue mode. A-N. Tanween. Second word.
Madan.
Third word. Mustafan. Mustafan. Stop or pause mode. Line two, first word.
Mustashfa.
Second word.
Mada.
Third word.
Mustafa.
Mustafa. Mustafa. Any question about Yani this rule? The rule of Med Iwad. That is, when a word ends with Tanween Fatha. This rule is not applicable to words that end with two Dhamma. or two kasra. It's only applicable to words that end with fathatan, two fatha. Okay, the rule is that that word that ends with two fatha must be followed by an alif. And that alif is to tell you, if you stop on that word, you pronounce it as though it's elongating the fatha sound. If you continue reading, you read it as tanween n. The exception to this are words that end with ta marbuta and words that end with hamzatul qat, which we talked about last week. The same rule for mad iwad, words that end with fathatain, it doesn't matter if that fathatain is followed by alif mamduda, the regular straight up alif that looks like the number one, or is followed by alif maksura. The same rule as we had in these two lessons, 46 and 47, the same rule is applicable to words that end with alif maksura as words that have at the end of them alif mamduda. Any question? Tayyib. I feel some pressure to not press you to go on to the next lesson. But we still have a few minutes of our time that we have to take back. Let's look at the notes on the next page of the explanatory notes. Explanatory notes. Next page. It says lesson 48, page 92 and 93. Explanatory notes. It says Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl. Okay, in the Arabic language there are two types of Hamza. Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qat. We are already familiar with this, some of us. Okay, because we've talked about it and from time to time. But here's a lesson explaining Hamzatul Wasl and also trying to clarify yani how it's different from Hamzatul Qat. Explanation. It says there are two Hamzas in Arabic language. Number one, Hamzatul Qat. Hamzatul Qat, which is written like this. It's written like a regular Hamza. It looks like the top of an Ayn. It looks like the top of the letter Ayn. Sometimes it's written without any seat. Sometimes it's written on Aleph. Sometimes on Waw. Sometimes on Ya. We had lessons for each one of these. Hamzatul Qat written on Aleph, written on Waw, written on Ya, written by itself. The lessons concerning Hamza were lessons 14, lesson 15, lesson 30 and 33, lesson 35 and 36. And I wrote that down in the notes here, so you can refer back to those lessons in your book to see Hamzatul Qat. Hamzatul Qat is sometimes written by itself, sometimes on a seat, Aleph, Waw, or Ya. This Hamza is always pronounced, whether it's in the beginning, middle, or end of a word. For example, in the word akala, Hamza is in the beginning of the word. In the word sa'ala, Hamza is in the middle of the word. In the word bada'a, Hamza is in the end of the word. It doesn't matter if Hamzatul Qat comes in the beginning, middle, or end of the word, it is always pronounced. How is it pronounced? It's a glottal stop. It's a stop, as and it's pronounced as the sound of its vowel, a, e, or u. And then I give you the reference here for the lessons dealing with Hamzatul Qat. The second type of Hamza is Hamzatul Wasl, which is written like this. It looks like the beginning of the letter Saad. It looks like the beginning of the letter Saad, without the ending part of it cut off. Okay? It looks like this, written above an Aleph. This Hamza, Hamzatul Wasl, is only pronounced when you start with that word. It's only pronounced if you begin your speech, or you begin your reading, or you begin the sentence with the word that begins with Hamzatul Wasl. Only if you begin with it. And there's no other letter or word before it. Okay? And here are some examples. Examples of words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl. We're only going to pronounce the Hamzatul Wasl and its vowel if we begin with that word. If there's anything before it, we're not going to pronounce the Hamzatul Wasl or its vowel. Okay, here's examples of words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl. Ismun. Notice that the word ismun has the first letter after Hamzatul Wasl has sukoon. And the reason why there's a Hamzatul Wasl in this word, because this word originally begins with seen, with sukoon. And in Arabic, if a word begins with sukoon, you can't read it. So you have to add Hamzatul Wasl. That's why the Hamzatul Wasl is there. All of these words actually begin with a letter with sukoon. So they added Hamzatul Wasl in order to read the word if you begin with it. Okay, so ismun originally begins with seen with sukoon. Ithnan originally begins with tha with sukoon. Ithnatan originally begins with tha with sukoon. By the way, ithnan means two, and ithnatan is the feminine form of two. Ibnun originally begins with ba with sukun. Ibnatun originally begins with ba with sukun. Ibn we know is what? Son, and ibna is daughter. Imraun originally begins with meem with sukun. And imraatun originally begins with meem with sukun, yani a man or a woman. All of these words are words that originally begin with a letter with sukun. That's why Hamza Tawassul is added to them. Okay? So the Hamza, this Hamza, Hamza Tawassul, is only pronounced when you start with the word. And no other word or letter is before it, as in these examples that we just read. However, whenever there's a letter, yani a ba, or a fa, or any letter, or any word before the Hamza Tawassul, this Hamza is not pronounced, as in the following examples. Okay, here in these examples, we have words that begin with Hamza Tawassul, but there's a letter or there's a word before them, therefore the Hamza Tawassul and its vowel is not going to be pronounced. Okay, the first example from the right is Bismi Rabbika. Bismi Rabbika. Here the word Ism is preceded by the letter Ba with Kasra. In that case, the Hamza Tawassul before the scene of Ism is not pronounced. Rather, Hamza Tawassul tells us connect whatever is before it to whatever after it. So we connect the ba with kasra to the scene with sukun. And we say, Bismi Rabbika. The second example, Huma Ithnani. If we join them together, we don't say Ithnani, we say Humathnani. We join what's before the Hamza Tawassul, yani the meme with Fatta Aleph. We join it to the tha of ithnan, and it becomes humathnani. The third example, hadha ibnu Muhammadin. Ibnu Muhammadin, since there's a word before, we're not going to say ibnu, we're going to say hadhabnu. We're going to join what's before the ba with sukun. We're going to join what's before the hamza tilwasl, the aleph of hadha. We're going to join that to the ba with sukun, and we're going to say instead of hadha ibnu, we're going to say hadha ibnu Muhammadin. In this case, the hamza tawassul merely serves as a connector, joining what is before the hamza to what is after it. For more examples, see lesson 53 notes. The notes for lesson 53, these notes that we made here, explanatory notes. Okay, so the point here is that hamza tawassul, unlike Hamzatul Qat, is only pronounced when you begin with that word. Hamzatul Qat is pronounced no matter whether you begin with it or not. Anytime you see Hamzatul Qat, you have to pronounce it with its vowel. Hamzatul Wasl, only if you begin with that word you're going to pronounce it. Its vowel could be a Kasra, as in these examples, or its vowel could be a Fatha, or its vowel could be a Dhamma. Okay, its vowel may vary depending on what kind of word it is, but that vowel is not going to be pronounced if there's something preceding it. If there's anything preceding Hamza Tawassul, you don't pronounce the Hamza Tawassul or its vowel. Rather, it just connects or joins what's before Hamza Tawassul to the sukun, the letter with sukun that's immediately following it. Hamza Tawassul is always followed by a letter with sukun, because that's the reason why the Hamza Tawassul is added there, because that word originally begins with a letter with sukun. Now,
these two words, now you say,
yeah, don't worry about them. Only thing I want to, this for this class right here, only thing we want to know is, how do you pronounce the word that begins with Hamza Tawassul? You pronounce it, yani, with its vowel, if you begin with it. Otherwise, if there's anything before it, we don't pronounce it. We just make it a connector, what's before it to what's after it. And if here, we just want to know what's the difference between Hamza Tawassul and Hamza Tilqat. Any question about what's in this lesson right here? Meaning, how the Hamza Tawassul is used, how it is pronounced. What is the rule for Hamza Tawassul? Any question about it? Okay, let's just look quickly, and then we're going to close this class at the examples that they gave us. For lesson 48 on page 92 and 93. Hamza Tawassul. This aleph without the sign of Hamza is called Hamza Tawassul. It is pronounced only when it is not preceded by another word. When preceded by another word, it is dropped in pronunciation, but not in writing. You still have to write it, but you don't pronounce it. To indicate its omission, this sign, the sign of the beginning of the letter Sa'd, is placed above it. And on the top of the page, we see Aleph with Hamza Tilqat with Fatha, A, and we see an Aleph with no Hamza Tilqat with a Fatha, and that's also A. But we're only going to pronounce the Hamza Tilwasl if we begin with that word. Okay, page 92, line 1, the first word. Here we're pronouncing the vowel of Hamza Tilwasl. Why? Because we begin with it. Al Baytu. Notice that the vowel of Hamza Tilwasl here is Fatha. It can be Fatha, can be Kasra, can be Dhamma. Second word.
Ibnun.
Third word.
Ismun.
Fourth word.
Usjud.
Notice that the Hamza Tilwasl has vowel is Dhamma. Usjud. Last word.
Ihdina.
So here we see that the vowel of Hamza Tilwasl can be Fatha as in Al Bayt, can be Kasra as in Ibn, can be Dhamma as in Usjud. Line 2, first word. Ibni. Second word with it. Wabnuka. Notice that the same word came in both of these expressions. Ibni, okay, and Ibnuka. Both of them are the same word, except that they have different pronouns attached to them. Both of them is the word Ibn, Ibni, my son, Ibnuka, your son. But in the first example, we pronounce the Kasra of the Hamza Tilwasl because we're beginning with it. Ibni. In the second example, we don't pronounce the vowel of Hamza Tilwasl because there's a letter before it. Wow. So instead of saying Wa Ibnuka, we say what?
Wabnuka.
Okay, so in the first one we pronounce the Kasra, Ibni. In the second one we don't pronounce the Kasra. We don't say Wa Ibnuka. We say Wabnuka. Same thing in the next two words. The next two words, read them.
Ismuka.
Wasmi. Same word, ism, ismuka, and ismi. But the second ismi, it has waw before it, so we don't pronounce the kasra. We don't say wa ismi, we just say wasmi. Ismuka, wasmi. Okay, the last line, two words. I want you to read both of them together. Line 3. Is al waktub. Is al waktub. Okay, in the first word we're pronouncing the Hamza Tilwasl, we pronounce it as vowel. Is al. In the second one, the word actually originally is uktub. But we're not going to pronounce the Dhamma in uktub because it's preceded by a letter. So we're just going to say waktub. Is al waktub. Tub. The Hamza Tilwasl here is telling us join the waw with fatha to the kaf with sukoon. Waktub. Hamza Tilwasl is a connector. Whenever there's something before it, you join what's before it to what's immediately following it with sukoon. Means ask. It's a command form. Fi'l amr. Ask. From sa'ala to ask. Ask and write. Okay, the last two words they gave us, read them again. The last two words. Uktub was'al. They just reversed the words here. Is'al waktub. They wrote uktub was'al. They just reversed the words. Here we see that the word uktub has its vowel red because we're beginning with it. Uktub. And the next one, yani we see that its vowel is not pronounced because there's a letter before it. So we don't say uktub wa is'al. We just say uktub was'al. And the last example that they gave us is on page 93. It's from the Quran. Two words. Let's read them together. First word. Wasjud. Second word. Waqtarib. Wasjud. Both of them have a letter before them. So we're not going to pronounce the vowel of Hamza Tilwasl. We're not going to say usjud. We just say wasjud. The waw with fatha is connected to the scene with sukoon. Wasjud. Waqtarib. Yani, originally it would be Iqtarib. But the Kasra is not going to be pronounced here because it's preceded by Waw. So the Waw with Fatha is connected directly to the Qaf with Sukoon, Wasjud, Waqtarib. Okay, inshallah, next week we'll try to review a little bit of this Hamza Tilwasl before we go on to the next lesson. We don't really have time because the next class we already 15 minutes over time. Pardon me for going over time, the people in the next class. But if somebody has a question, ask me when we have a break, inshallah. Right now we're going to start the next class immediately. So I'm going to ask you, please, 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 when you're leaving, leave quietly and orderly so we can start the next class. Fikum barakallah.